The church looks different, obviously. We cover crucifixes and the statues in what is called Passion Tide. It's the time before the Passion, the week before Palm Sunday begins. And it's meant to bother us. It bothers me. I don't like seeing that beautiful crucifix covered. I don't like seeing St. Joseph and Our Lady covered. It's meant to focus us, to signal to us that these days are not the same as every other day, but rather there's a focus, and the focus is on precisely where Jesus needs us to be leading into Passion Sunday, Palm Sunday. Where is it? Well, it's in the readings today. Would that we had the spirit of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, or Abednego, right? There's different translations, different pronouncements. Who refuse to bow down and worship any god but the Lord. They refuse. And they're so strong and solid in their refusal. They're not asking God for a miracle. In fact, they're very detached, even of their own lives. They're like, look, if God chooses to save us, so be it. But even if he doesn't, we're not worshiping your God. I love that. Don't you love that? It's so strong and decisive. And it's so important for us today because, man, do we run around chasing a lot of false gods. We just do. We're really quick to turn our back on the one true God and to chase after something that is not God and make our lives entirely about that. Whether it's popularity or reputation, whether it's our own will, and that's a huge one, I desire it, therefore it must be the most important thing in life. Whether it's any other desire, all those things can become idols. Anything, friends, anything that is not God, if it's given the pride of place in our hearts, becomes an idol. Even good things, relationships, family, boyfriend, girlfriend, all of that, if it becomes more important than God, it becomes an idol. And the spiritual truth, which is written all over the Old Testament, into the New Testament, all throughout the ages, down to 2019 today, is any worship of an idol leads to slavery. It doesn't matter how pretty the idol is. It doesn't matter how intensely you feel a feeling for the idol. It always leads to slavery. But we are not meant to be enslaved. St. Paul says, the spirit that God has given us is not a spirit of slavery through which we fall back into fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption through which we cry out, Abba, that is, Father. Jesus is the one who opens the door, the gate, the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. And this Passion Tide, this Passion Week, as we enter into Holy Week, we have to be right behind Jesus. Because what he accomplishes, and only he accomplishes, is what our souls need most, which is freedom from sin. He says it straight up, John 8, this great chapter in the Gospel of John. Anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Anyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Well, the truth, my friends, Jesus says the truth shall set us free. The truth is we're all sinners, every one of us. And there are some parts of each one of our hearts where we are enslaved. Enslaved to a particular sin, or enslaved to a particular attitude, enslaved to a particular way of seeing things that it does not correspond with the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are, the truth of who others are. All of us, we're all enslaved in one way or another. And that's truth. We have to be real about the truth. We can't run from that. The truth is always, always good for us to engage, even hard truths. But that truth about our sinfulness is met by a deeper truth. On Easter Vigil, you'll hear the exalted proclaimed. And one of the lines there says, "Oh, happy fault of Adam, which won for us so great a Savior." Our sinfulness wins for us a great Savior. And so Jesus says, a slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does. And then he says, and if the Son, capital S, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. That's what this is all about. Your freedom and mine. One for us, not because we've decided, not because we're like, oh, I've figured it out, not because we say, I've got what it takes, but because Jesus, who is the Son, who gives us the gift of his life, who lays down himself for us miserable sinners, he opens the way to freedom. And when he opens it, it cannot be shut. If the Son sets you free, then you can be free indeed. So we come to him. We look to him. We follow him. We receive his gift, his love, his truth. And in that, we become truly free because his grace heals our hearts, breaks the chains of sin, and opens us to that life that we all long for, that freedom we all want to possess. It's all here for us. We simply have to say yes. So may that truth set our hearts free, and may that truth set our hearts on fire for him who gives himself to us. The Son does set you free. And if you say yes to his gift, to his love, to his grace, then you are free indeed.